Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You're listening to Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch, and it's time to talk about the first few days of the Trump administration through a legal lens with our KMOX legal analyst, Brad Young. He's a partner at Harris, Dow, Fisher & Young. Brad, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Megan.
So let's start with one of the executive orders that President Trump issued his first day back in office, the one that would roll back birthright citizenship in the United States. That order already being challenged in a lawsuit. Let's start with, what is birthright citizenship?
Well, birthright citizenship is this idea that if a person is born in the United States, then they're automatically a United States citizen. You might remember when John McCain ran for president, there was an issue about whether he was actually an American citizen or not, because he was born in the Panama Canal as his dad was in military service. And it was deemed that he was, because if you're born in the United States or in any territories of the United States or on military bases, then you're considered a U.S. citizen. So that's the issue. The order that Donald Trump signed eliminates, at least purports to eliminate, birthright citizenship. That's in violation of the U.S. Constitution. And because of that, more than 22 Democratic-led states have now filed a lawsuit over this birthright citizenship order.
I'm curious, you know, some people, as they view the Constitution, say that, well, this amendment really goes back to the Civil War. For example, we were talking to Thane Rosenbaum of CBS about that. Talk about how we apply something that may have been instituted centuries ago into today's what's happening today.
Well, that's always the trick, isn't it? Because if something is passed in the 1800s, in fact, the 14th Amendment was passed in 1868, immediately following the Civil War. But how do we apply that today? What's interesting, and even particularly interesting, applied to St. Louis on this, is that this was designed to overcome the argument in the Dred Scott case that said, even though a slave is born in the United States, they're not really a citizen. So the 14th Amendment was designed to overcome and really reverse the Dred Scott case from 1857 that, of course, originated right here in St. Louis. So the question becomes, how do we apply that? And I think the application of that is very clear, because the wording says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States. And that's fairly clear. There's not a lot of ambiguity in that. So moving forward, the question becomes, can an executive order override the 14th Amendment? And legally, the answer to that is fairly clear, and that is that an executive order cannot override the 14th Amendment.
Would you expect some of the other immigration orders to be challenged as well?
Oh, we're going to see a lot of those immigration orders challenged. But at some point, as you move through all of these different immigration orders, Megan, some will be successfully challenged, others will not, because right now our legal system gives a great deal of deference to the president in terms of our border security. And so a lot of that, the courts are going to have to defer to the president. But when it comes to this, I don't see a deference to the president, because the wording of the 14th Amendment is so clear.
The president also signed executive orders that halt diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, and one that declares basically that there are only two biological sexes. Let's start with the first, the DEI programs. What are the likely impacts of that order?
Well, we've already seen the first impact of that order, Megan, and that is that the federal government's DEI offices have been shuttered. And under federal law, there's a process for when you lay off employees, they have to be placed on leave. And then there has to be some findings made before individuals can be laid off from the federal government. But that process was literally started on Monday. So that's going to be the first ramification or consequence of that order. But moving down the road, the question then becomes, do individuals have a right to be known by their gender of choice, or can the federal government state that for all intents and purposes, we're going to treat you based upon your birth sex? And that's an unknown question. Really, the only legal guidance that we have here is from 2020. It's a case of Bostock versus Clayton County. And the Supreme Court said that when it comes to employment law, that it protects, the Civil Rights Act of 1964 protects employees against discrimination because of sexuality or gender identity. But that's never been applied beyond the Civil Rights Act of 1964 in an employment situation. So this will be new ground when it eventually gets to the Supreme Court.
Well, and it also sounds like it's going to be new ground. I'm hearing discussion of how biological sex is defined. Is it chromosomes or is it whether you have sperm and eggs? That's what I'm hearing with this as well.
Yeah, and the as the saying goes, the devil's in the details, and it's easy to say we're going to apply the birth gender, but then it becomes difficult to say how that's defined. And that also takes us back to the 14th Amendment, ironically, Megan, because there's something called the Equal Protection Clause, and it basically states that all persons have the right to equal application and protection under the law. So I believe that the legal arguments that will be trying to challenge this order will be once again focused on the 14th Amendment.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Finally, the president has delayed enforcement of that ban on social media platform TikTok. What is the president's legal authority here?
Boy, it's questionable here. Let's look, first of all, at the law. There is a built-in provision in the TikTok law that allows the president to extend the implementation of the law, but there's a very specific clause in that. It states that there has to be binding agreements to sell TikTok in order for the president to delay enforcement. Right now, we're not aware of any binding agreements. We know that there have been some offers to purchase TikTok. I think the guy from Shark Tank is one of the individuals who is trying to buy TikTok. But whether that constitutes a binding agreement under the law is certainly unclear. And so right now, all we have is a 75-day moratorium that Donald Trump has signed, which will, at least according to the president's office, will allow time to negotiate the sale of TikTok.
What about the legal ramifications of the president's suggestion that the U.S. government be a half owner in any purchase of TikTok? That makes people think of state-owned media.
It certainly does. And there, of course, in this situation, Megan, you'd have to separate the legal side from the public policy or public relations side. And since literally this idea was just thrown out yesterday, as I've started looking into it, I can't at least immediately find a legal reason why the U.S. government couldn't own at least half of TikTok. But the question becomes, do we really want government entities running public corporations? That's a policy question. And also, to what end would the Chinese government still be an owner in any eventual TikTok? And then you have the U.S. government and the Chinese government sharing a business. I mean, this is a minefield of issues here from a national security issue. And once again, I think the devil will be in the details.
Well, when it comes to spending taxpayer money, would that be something that would have to go through Congress and not be part of an executive order?
Well, if there's any money spent to do that, absolutely. It would have to be money that's funded by Congress. If it's simply an argument that allowing the U.S. government to own 50% and someone else pays for the other 50% sufficient to buy the platform, then at that point, I don't think that congressional authorization would be required because the government wouldn't be spending any actual money.
Brad, thank you so much. Always good to talk with you.
My pleasure.
That is KMOX legal analyst Brad Young, partner at Harris, Dow, Fisher & Young. Come